We learned last time we were together that God has started a process in us when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ of sanctifying us, of renewing our minds, and in the process of renewing our minds and sanctifying us, He's helping us to get bad habits out of our lives and put good habits into our lives. So there's this constant process in the life of every believer in Jesus Christ called sanctification, and that process involves us getting rid of those things that are bad in our lives, that have produced bad habits in our lives, and adopting things into our lives that produce good habits and good things in our lives. So we've learned some things about that last time we were together. We learned that the Lord wants us to abandon lying. We learned that we need to develop a habit of honesty. We need to develop a habit of anger management. And we need to develop a habit of honest labor. Now we're going to take a look at a few more habits that God wants us to develop in this passage. And we want the Lord and His Spirit to help us. So let's look at verse 29. Verse 29 of Ephesians chapter 4. It says, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." Now, the first thing I see in this particular verse is this. The Holy Spirit of God wants us to develop the habit of edifying speech. He wants us to develop the habit of edifying speech. Now, the word for corrupt here is the word rotten. So rotten words destroy and tear down our relationships with others. Now remember what I told you before as well. Not only are these good habits for us to develop that will help us in our relationship with the Lord, but these are also excellent habits that if we adapt them into our lives, if we adopt them into our lives, we are going to have much better relationships with others. Okay? So certainly this is one of those habits that can help us develop very good relationships with others. Now, it can also do the opposite. So if you have the habit of rotten speech, in other words, you aren't edifying others or bringing them up, but you're constantly tearing them down through criticism or gossip or slander or complaining, boy, you're going to have terrible relationships with others. So this is something that is really vital to our relationship with the Lord as well as our relationship with others. It's good for us to have speech that edifies others. In his book, The Youth Builder, Jim Burns talks about the importance of building up young people with affirmation and trust. What he says about criticism applies to every age group. For every critical comment we receive, it takes 9 affirming comments to even out the negative effect in our lives. Most young people receive more critical comments a day than encouraging ones. Thank you so much. You can have a very positive, life-transforming effect when you develop a ministry of affirmation. You know what happens, I see a lot of times in relationships with young people that parents have? They have a constant critical attitude towards their children. They're always they always find the bad things about them. They're always pointing out the critical the things that they need to improve in. And I'm not saying that we don't need to point out to our children that the things that they need to improve in. What I am saying is this. If you are constantly doing that and you never tell your child some good things about themselves, if you never build them up, and even when you criticize them, you show them that you are trying to help them, and you affirm that that God loves them and that God cares about them and that you love them and that you care about them, well, you're going to produce a bad relationship with you and your child. And it's going to hurt them spiritually. It's going to hurt you spiritually as well. But if all you ever do is criticize and cut down your child, I've seen Christian families do this with their child, and the results are catastrophic. And I use that word, I don't use that word lightly. They create such spiritual darkness surrounding their relationship with their child that it affects the spiritual livelihood of their child. And this week I had a chance to be around about 60 young people, and I saw some of the effects of children that had been, you know, constantly berated, constantly knocked down in their families and in their homes. And it's not a pleasant sight. And we need to understand that rotten speech really hurts our relationship with others, and oftentimes the ones we love the most. So instead of constant criticism and denigration of others, we should be speaking to them in ways that help them live for the Lord. That's what we should be doing. Instead of making fun of of the people that you're around or constantly criticizing them, you lift them up. I was talking to one man this week, and he was talking about a job that he had, and he was a police officer, and he worked for this chief, and he was working real hard and was there about 5 years, and there was so much pressure because of this chief, because all he did was criticize, that the police officer decided to transfer to another department. And the pressure was just too much for him to handle. But it was amazing what he said to me. He said, you know, I worked really hard for 5 years for that man, and he never once gave me a compliment on my work. Well, you know, 5 years of no compliments and just criticism really hurt their relationship, didn't it? It really hurt their relationship. And it wasn't necessarily that this chief thought the other man was doing a bad job. It was just he had not learned what it meant to edify others with his speech. We need to learn to edify others with our speech. It's not just enough not to criticize someone, but to actually speak words that edify others, that build them up, that gives them life instead of sucking the life out of them, is what God wants us to do. And I think that would really go a long way in our relationships with others. So we need to ask the Holy Spirit of God to point out every rotten word we speak and help us to replace those words with edifying words. You know, my wife and I, we have a marriage relationship, and you know how that can go. And sometimes I say something that's not nice to my wife. I know that's hard to believe because I'm such a wonderful guy. But sometimes I say something that's not nice. And, of course, when the Lord points it out to me or she points it out to me, I apologize, okay? And I say, I'm sorry. But you know what? That's not good enough. And Christy says, yeah, okay, you're sorry. Now, what is she want? She's wanting me to replace the bad thing that I just said with something good. So instead of me saying, you know, your cooking was lousy tonight, she wants me to say, you're an excellent cook, darling. You do a great job. You really do. And hey, that's biblical. That's what I should do. And by the way, she doesn't cook bad. She does a great job. That's just an example, okay? I'm digging the ditch. Oh, boy. It's going to be a wonderful day. All right. So, you know, some passages of Scripture are harder for me to preach than others, and this is one of those ones that I really need work on. You know, we all have certain sins that easily ensnare us. You know, we talk about those sins that are easier for us to be ensnared by than others. Well, this is mine. And so maybe you have the same problem. Maybe it's real easy for you to blurt out a critical, mean comment, but it's not so easy for you to blurt out a kind, edifying comment. And you got to really work on this and ask the Lord to develop this habit of good speech, edifying speech in your life. So ask yourself, are my words helping the person I am talking to live for the Lord? Or is it hurting them? Are my words helping or hurting my relationship with that person? So this is something that we need to really develop. Let's develop the habit of edifying speech, because this is what pleases the Holy Spirit of God. The opposite grieves him, we're told in this passage of Scripture. So let's not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by having critical, mean speech. Let's have speech that edifies others. Now, look at verse 30 and 31. It says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." Now, this is another awesome passage of Scripture. The Holy Spirit of God wants us to develop the habit of abolishing disunity with others. Now, I want you to notice it says, "By whom do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." So, this is something that believers who are sealed by the Holy Spirit of God struggle with. We understand that. We understand that this kind of thing is things that we as believers can struggle with. We can really develop strongholds in our lives with these particular sins if we're not careful, that we need to ask the Spirit of God to help us overcome. All these behaviors separate us from others. I want you to notice that. These behaviors that are listed here really separate us from others. And the whole context of this chapter in Ephesians is that we would be unified together as believers, okay? And that we'd be reunified in our relationships with others. So we need to see what kind of behaviors separate us from others. The first one listed, and I believe it's listed first because it really is the root cause of the other things that are listed. So it says, "Let all bitterness," is the first thing. Bitterness is bad feelings about others. Bad feelings about others. You know, maybe it's a genuine hatred of others. Maybe it's a feeling of being betrayed by others, and you're not letting it go. You're not willing to forgive that person. Maybe you let that anger that you have for that person continue to stew in your heart, and that is what bitterness is. And so this idea of bitterness really results in some of the other sins listed here. Wrath, outburst of rage. When you have bitterness in your heart, you have this outbursts of rage. Anger, and this anger is the kind of sinful anger. It's a smoldering anger. You continue to be angry. You ever meet somebody like that? They've got an angry spirit about them. I was in a Bass Pro Shops last week and last Saturday, and I was looking at the guns, and I looked at the person just standing there behind the counter, and I said, "Could I look at that gun over there?" And the guy looked at me like this. He's like, "I'm with another customer." It's like, "Oh, okay, no problem." All right, I was like, "Whoa, boy, this guy's got an attitude." But he just had an angry spirit about him. And I was at a place getting our cell phones for our family. This guy comes in, and he just looked angry. You could tell he was just angry. And he said, "I need another cell phone." And the salesman tried to be nice to him, say, "Well, here's some of the ones we got." "No, I need this. I need this one." He said, "Well, if you want a good deal." "No, I don't want that." You know, the guy's trying to give him a better deal on a cell phone, but he's just so enveloped in anger that he can't even get a good deal on a cell phone. And so there's people like that. Yeah, Billy remembers that. Yeah. So, but why is someone like that? Somewhere along the line, they got some bitterness in their heart down there. That's why. There's bitterness over something that has happened to them. It may have been a horrible thing. You know, I'm not judging that person. There may be something horrible that has happened in their life to create that kind of bitterness and anger. But we, as Christians, got to let it go. We can't let this kind of anger really hurt us. And then, of course, clamor, verbal abuse, quarreling, and complaining. That's what clamor is. And boy, this can really infect the life of a believer in Jesus Christ. Evil speaking is slander, talking lies about other people. Malice is ill will, wanting to hurt the other person and being willing to talk bad about them and even lie about them. I was in the camp this week, and there was this wonderful lady. I've known her for almost 30 years. She's taught in a Christian school for 32 years. She is a faithful servant of God. She has a lovely spirit, and she's just really a great teacher. And she was teaching some of the Bible lessons there last week in the camp, and she did a great job. Well, on the ride home, she was telling me about, you know, her experiences as a teacher. And she said, "You know, about 3 years ago, I almost quit teaching because of one parent. And this one parent, every single day, had nothing. She would make a point of seeing me at the door every single day at the end of the day and made a point of criticizing me and pointing out things that she perceived that I did wrong and that I wasn't treating her child the way she should." And, of course, she was making a victim out of her child. And it was just a mess. Well, this lady was spreading things. This was someone who actually worked in the Christian school as well. She was a Christian. You know, that's what she said anyway. So anyways, so she's talking bad about this wonderful lady. And she is. She's a wonderful lady. And as much as this lady tried to reconcile with this bitter person, she just continued to spew out hate. And one day, it got out of her mouth why she was like this to this teacher, this wonderful teacher. She said, "I'm still mad at you because of how what you did when you were my older daughter's volleyball coach 5 years ago." So this woman stewed on this for 5 years and was so bitter, she had a hatred for this woman now. And it about destroyed. Well, let me tell you what happened. That lady ended up getting fired from the job she had in the Christian school, the bitter lady, because she was spreading lies about the other teacher, and that can't be tolerated. And not only that, she took her kids out of the Christian school, and worse than that, it wasn't long till they were out of church. It affected the welfare of her whole family because she didn't like how the volleyball coach treated her daughter. Think about that for a minute. That's what bitterness can do. You take a little slug of it, and boy, it can really do damage. Don't let that be you. Don't let bitterness damage you. Remember, God has better for you. He wants you to forgive. He wants you to understand that bitterness will destroy you. And it will. Bitterness kills. It literally kills. Bitterness has been medically linked to gland problems. Okay? Oh, my. High blood pressure, cardiac disorders, ulcers, and even insanity. One leading psychiatrist wrote, 90% of all people in insane asylums would be released immediately if they would learn how to forgive or how to be forgiven. Think about that. That's pretty amazing. So this is something that is very damaging. So let's, instead of having a habit of disunity with others, let's develop a habit of being unified with others. And how do we do that? I'm glad you asked, because that's my final point, and that's what we are given the answer to in verse 32. Let's look at verse 32. It says, "And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." My third and final point is the Holy Spirit of God wants us to develop the habit of being a peacemaker. The habit of being a peacemaker. In Matthew 5:9, Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." Being at peace with others is what Jesus is talking about. Those who are God's children will develop a habit of being at peace with others. Not in contention with them, but at peace with them. How do we develop this habit? That is what we find here. We are to be kind to others. This means being considerate and accommodating. Be considerate and accommodating of others. People are people, and so we need to understand that they're going to have faults that we might not like. They may even have personality traits that we don't like, but we can still be considerate and kind and accommodating in those things. We should be tender-hearted to others. This means we will have compassion and understanding for others. We should forgive others like Christ forgave us. Now, this is a big thing. This is a big thing. Learning how to forgive like Christ forgave us. Forgiveness is not easy. I understand that. You know, I think of some of the horrible things that have been done. The first night I preached at this youth camp, I was going back to the boys' dorm, and one of the young men, young boys, came to me and he said, "Pastor Bill, can I talk to you?" And I said, "Sure, I'd be happy to talk to you." And he burst out in tears, and he said, "I don't know what to think about this, Pastor Bill. One of my cousins just got molested last week, was molested. And he was devastated by it. And I thought, wow, what's it going to take for that person, that young girl that got molested, but not only her, but her cousin, to get over something like that? Well, it's going to have to take real forgiveness. It's going to have to take a forgiveness that is not natural. I can't even imagine that. Can you imagine if that was your daughter? You know, maybe after I tortured and killed the guy that did it, I might be able to forgive him. You know, I mean, that's what your flesh says, right? I mean, it would really take a supernatural working of God and His grace working in you to be able to forgive for something like that. But that's the kind of forgiveness that Christ gave to us, didn't He? And that's the kind of forgiveness He really wants us to display in our lives towards others. But it's not easy. But God will help us. He will help us. Who is that person that has wronged you so much that it's hard to forgive them? That is the person that you can really grow in Christ by forgiving them, because that is the person that you'll have to exhibit Christ-like forgiveness for more than anyone else. And that's what Christ wants from us. He wants us to be a peacemaker. Forgiveness is not easy, but remember why Jesus forgave you. He wanted to reconcile His relationship with you so you and He could be at peace. That's why we do it. That's why we forgive. Because Christ forgave us so that we could be at peace with Him. So that we could be reconciled with Him. And forgiveness is that channel that God gives to us to reconcile with others. It's that channel that helps us to reconcile with others, to be at peace with others. You know, that's just one of those things. We may have been wronged, you know, and that's just the way it is. You may have experienced someone slandering you, someone talking bad about you. But what are you going to do with that? Are you going to just let it stew in your heart and destroy you? And destroy your relationships with others, even if it's not that person, because that's what it'll do? Or are you going to let it go? Are you going to forgive that person? Are you going to try and reconcile with that person? That's what we're commanded to do. And that's the best thing for us. You know, God doesn't command us to do something that isn't best for us. And this is best for us to do, even though it may be painful for us to do. It is best. He wanted to reconcile with us, and He was willing to die on the cross to reconcile with us. He sacrificed Himself on the cross to reconcile with us. He put to death everything, including Himself, so that He could be reconciled with us. We need to do the same. That's not easy, but that's what we need to do. So our goal in all our relationships should be peace and reconciliation. That's what it means to be a peacemaker. So a peacemaker is someone who seeks peaceful reconciliation with others by giving and seeking Christ-like forgiveness. That's what a peacemaker is. Okay? So let's be that kind of peacemaker. Let's be a peacemaker like the Lord wants us to be. Glenn Schaefer says this: during a children's sermon one Sunday morning, I held up a summer shirt that I wore around the house. I told the children that someone said the shirt was ugly and should be thrown away. I'm having trouble forgiving the person who said those mean things, I said. Do you think I should forgive that person? My daughter, Alicia, 6, raised her hand and said, "You should." "But why? This person hurt my feelings," I said. "Because you're married to her."
Yeah.
Oftentimes, it's those that are closest to us that it's the hardest for us to forgive. You know, the people we've poured our lives into, and you expect them to be grateful or kind, but they're not. Those are the people that sometimes it's the hardest to forgive. Amen? But we should forgive them because Christ forgave us, and we want to be close to people. We want to be unified together with other people. We want to be at peace with others. You know, I don't want there to be contention with me and someone else. If there's any way I can make that, reconcile that relationship, I try. And that's what we should do. Let's please the Holy Spirit of God by developing the habits of edifying speech, of abolishing disunity with others, and being a peacemaker.